Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q3 FY18-19 Results Conference Call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter FY18-19 results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we'll be happy to take questions. The audited financial statements file has been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. We've also provided segmental billing, revenue, profit before taxes and deferred sales, revenue movement in our data sheet on our website. We'll first discuss the standalone financials of the company. Billings in Q3 were rupees 272 crores, up 19% year-on-year. Revenue in Q3 was rupees 281 crores, up 24% year-on-year. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation for the quarter, were 197.7 crores, up 33% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA stood at 83.3 crores versus 78.8 crores last year, and an increase of 6% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 30% versus 35% in Q3 of last year. EBITDA adjusted for ESOP non-cash charges stood at 87.8 crores versus rupees 82.1 crores last year. And adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 31.2%. Cash EBITDA for the quarter stood at 78.8 crores, down 5% year-on-year. Deferred sales revenue stood at rupees 405 crores as of 31st of December 2018 versus 333 crores as of 31st of December 2017, a growth of 21.5%. And the cash balance stands at 1,868 crores as of 31st December 2018 versus rupees 1,878 crores as of September 30th, 2018. The recruitment business and real estate business continue to drive the growth for InfoEdge in Q3. The focus of investments during the quarter was on marketing as well as hiring and upgrading of product and tech talent in the company. We spent a lot more than last year on marketing in both Jeevansathi and 99acres. These spends helped us to increase awareness levels of our brands. Moving on to results by segment, we'll first discuss the recruitment segment. In Q3, recruitment segment billings were rupees 193.6 crores, up 18.7% year-on-year, while revenues were rupees 203.7 crores, a growth of 20.5% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margins in the recruitment segment were at 54.7% versus 57.4% in Q3 of last year. EBITDA margins adjusted for ESOP and non-cash charges stood at 55.7%. The majority of the incremental spends in Naukri were on technology upgradation, new product development, and marketing, and data science. Cash EBITDA for the recruitment segment during the quarter stood at 103 crores, up 11% year-on-year. In Naukri in Q3 FY19-18, we added an average of 12,000 new CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 61 million CVs. Our traffic share in the job traditional job portal space continued to sort of remain very high in the mid-70s, and we continue to invest aggressively in our recruitment tools and systems business as we added more and more, and we added more clients to the product. We've also strengthened our customer support and data science teams during the quarter. The growth in billing in Naukri was aided by continued momentum in the IT sector. Recruitment consultants as a segment also sustained their growth from last quarter. And non-IT sectors, especially auto, construction, oil and gas and insurance, and some other smaller sectors did well for the company in terms of growth, as also indicated by a Naukri JobSpeak index. Moving on to the other verticals. In 99acres, billings in Q3 grew 30% year-on-year to rupees 49 crores, while revenue grew 48% to rupees 50.4 crores. We continue to invest aggressively in marketing during the quarter. The business had an EBITDA loss of about 3.2 crores versus a loss of rupees 7.4 crores at the EBITDA level in Q3 of last year. EBITDA adjusted for ESOP expenses stood at a loss of rupees 2.3 crores versus a loss of rupees 7 crore last year. EBITDA margins improved from minus 21% to minus 5%. Cash EBITDA loss for 99 acres during the quarter stood at rupees 3.8 crores. Our traffic share among the real estate portals continued to be around the 50% mark based on time spent. We have upped our marketing spend significantly over last year in this quarter. The broker segment continued to see strong growth. Our investment segment, investment 99 acres will continue as we see the real estate market stabilizing. The key focus of investments in 99 acres would include more marketing spends for building brand awareness and investments in tech, product and data quality. Moving on to the matrimony business, billings in Jeevan Sathi grew 5% year-on-year in Q3 to rupees 17.6 crores, owing to continued aggressive pricing and activity by competition. Revenue grew 7% year-on-year to rupees 17.7 crores. Higher marketing spends during the quarter aided higher brand awareness for us. We are continuously trying to consolidate our position as we penetrate deeper into the key segments and communities we operate in. Operating EBITDA loss for Jeevan Sathi stood at rupees 15.2 crores in Q3 of FY19, up from 4 crores last year, primarily on account of higher marketing spends. Adjusted EBITDA loss stood at 15 crores for Q3 for Jeevan Sathi versus the loss of rupees 3.9 crores last year. Cash EBITDA for Jeevan Sathi during the quarter stood at a loss of rupees 15.1 crore. Moving to the education vertical in Shiksha, in Q3, billings grew by 12% year-on-year to rupees 11.9 crores, while revenue grew 25% year-on-year to 9.2 crores. We made an EBITDA loss of rupees 2.5 crores versus a loss of rupees 1.2 crore last year. Adjusted EBITDA loss for the quarter stood at rupees 2.1 crore versus rupees 1.1 crore last year. Cash EBITDA profit for the quarter stood at rupees 55 lakhs versus rupees 2.1 crore profit last year. We continue to sort of put in more and more effort to get improve the user experience on our platforms. Talking about our strategic investments, Zomato continues to witness massive top-line growth in the delivery space. We announced an investment of rupees 13.4 crores in Shop Kirana, a B2B grocery delivery platform, during the quarter. We also did a follow-on round of investing rupees 28 crores in our investee company, No Paper Forms, and a rupees 3 crore in Shoe Connect during the quarter. And we continue to evaluate new investment opportunities as well. That's all from us. Thank you. And we are now ready to take any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, should we open the questions from the participants in the audio lines?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar from BOA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. Firstly, you know, clearly real estate is showing strong growth even on a high base effect. So was, trying to understand what is driving it and how should we look at it. I heard Hitesh, your comment that, you know, the broker segment was strong, but any further granularity would be helpful. Second question is ad increase, and clearly we are seeing close to around, you know, 97% YOY increase in ad. Would be great if we could get some granularity, as in which subdivision is seeing, you know, most of the increase. And thirdly, a question on Zomato. You know, clearly, you know, there has been some, you know, activity and then some noise around about Zomato looking to raise investment. Just wanted to understand from, you know, you guys how you look at it. Thanks.
Yeah. So real estate, you know, firstly, last year we had a terrible first half because of RERA. And so in first half this year, we saw close to 45-50% growth, but that was on the top of a very low base last year. Things started recovering in Q3 of last year. So this year again, we grew our billings by 30% in Q3. Revenue growth was much higher. But what we are seeing in real estate is two things. One, in general, real estate activity seems to have stabilized, and in fact, transactions actually have probably gone up in some markets as well. So people are buying more homes than they were buying earlier. But what we are also seeing is a slowdown in new launch activity. So, you know, a lot of our revenue comes from new launches. But we are seeing a slowdown on new launches. But at the same time, I think transactions have stabilized or are growing compared to last year. So that's what we are seeing in the real estate space. Let's see what happens going forward. This market has been very volatile. Every now and then we have something or the other happening in this space.
This is mainly north of India or across the board?
Across the board. So there's a revival of some sort across the board, especially more in the west and south. But in general, you know, the market is a lot more stable. Anecdotally, in some places, the prices have gone up a little bit as well. But I don't have sort of data on that front. As far as advertising goes, we upped our ad spend in all our businesses, at least the three big businesses, Naukri, 99acres, and Jeevansathi. We spent a lot more on advertising than last year. And there's a lot of competitive activity in that space, a lot of pricing pressure. And so we were forced to respond. In 99acres also, we've seen a lot more advertising intensity from competition. So we are keeping our spends also high, relatively high. In Naukri also, we had cut down advertising a lot over the years. And I think the time has come to spend a little more money on sort of building the Naukri brand. We've been sort of very dormant in media. Market is looking up. So we upped the spend on Naukri advertising as well last quarter. So in all three businesses, we saw between a 50 to 100% jump in ad spending.
And this near-term trend might continue, right? You know, the ad spending in these sub-segments may remain.
Yes, there could be sort of ups and downs, and a lot of it, like I said, is determined by, also to some extent, by what competition sort of does in this space. But we want to continue to advertise aggressively for some time.
Got it.
On Zomato, I'll let Sanjeev answer that question.
Yeah, Zomato is going head-to-head with Swiggy. Uber Eats is also in the fray, as is Foodpanda. So, and it's become a hugely capital consumptive game. So yes, Zomato is looking to raise money, and there's interest from several investors. So, but right now it's work in progress, so we can't really comment. I'll give you more specific detail on that.
Okay, and Sanjeev, on a big picture view, how do you look at it? Maintaining your stake, and you know, it's too early to comment.
So look, this has become a game that is slightly too big for our balance sheets for us to even maintain our stake, right? And if it's a very large round, it'll mean a very significant outlay on our part. So that will not be our preferred option.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Anuj Gupta from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So I've got a few questions, so I'll just list them down. Under Sanjeev, sir, we have made some fantastic investments. So can you please share our efforts on institutionalizing the investment process through an investment committee as we grow in size? Secondly, could you please share some numbers on the potential opportunity in terms of market size for Naukri.com, 99acres.com, and Jeevansathi.com? Thirdly, amongst the investee companies, can you please throw some light on any companies which have shown extremely impressive growth and could become big like Zomato or Policybazaar? And last, in terms of the investee companies, how are we looking at the risk of writing off investment and its impact on the balance sheet? And also, is there any possibility of a write back of the investments?
So I think that's four or five questions. So, look, as far as write-off of investment is concerned, you know, we follow prudent accounting practices, and good governance principles. We are conservative. So, yes, as and when, we feel something is not worth what we paid for it, we impair it. Naturally, this is done in consultation with the auditors, and we'll continue to do that, right? And the truth also is that not every investment succeeds. So, it's part of the game, right? And these things happen. Now, can a written down investment come back? It's possible, right? But for that, something will change in the business. So, for example, we may have written down Canberra, but and then merged it with Printo. But if the combined company does very well, who knows? It may come back, but we don't know yet, right? So it's possible. But right now, nothing is showing. I can't say for sure if something's going to come back. As far as the process for institutionalization of investment is concerned, that already exists. We have a corporate development team. We have a process by which they source deals, they evaluate deals. Once the corporate development team agrees on an investment, it is then taken to the three executive directors. Right. Once they approve it, it goes to an investment committee of the board, and then finally it gets invested in. Right. And that's the process we've been following. Now, as far as any new investments are concerned, which may become like a matter of policy, it's too early. Nothing has scaled up that level yet, but obviously we are hopeful that some will succeed, and who knows, they may succeed as well as the market policy will run. Yeah, but we can't say anything about that yet. Yeah, and Hitesh, you want to talk about
So as far as market sizes, market opportunity in different verticals go, see, it depends on how you define the market. Now, for example, the job market, so we operate mostly in the white collar sort of lateral hiring space. There's a blue-collar job market as well, there's a white-collar market, there's a market for recruitment tools, there's a market for very senior management hiring, there's a search business, which sort of... So, given the market that we operate in currently, which is white-collar, maybe 1 to 10, 20, 15 years of experience hiring in the private sector, mostly. So what we are sort of... believe is that we are maybe 25-30% of all hiring in this space. So for some companies, maybe they hire 5-10% of the people through us. Some companies hire 40% of the people through us. A lot of money is spent on recruitment consultants. A lot of money is spent on still spent on newspaper ads and so on. Referral programs are run by companies. So if you want to take all this into account, maybe it's a market which is over $1 billion, maybe $1.5 billion, $2 billion. There are no real sort of numbers available out there. As far as and this is just white collar, private sector, lateral hiring. If you, again, the real estate market, again, it depends on how you define it. If you look at just advertising, then there's a residential market and there's a commercial market. Within residential, you have new homes and you have resale. We mostly operate in the residential advertising market with, in both new homes and resale. Now, the total advertising spend in this segment is, a few years ago, actually at its peak, it used to be 5,000, 6,000 crores, but it's declined over time. My estimate is that today we are looking at a market of about 3,500 crores, but I could be off a little bit on this one. And this does not include commercial real estate, right? So that's the addressable market today, probably, for just advertising. Matrimony, if you take the three matrimony companies, they probably do between them about 600 to 700 crores of revenue. And then there are some spent on newspaper ads. And then there are matrimonial agencies and so on and so forth. So maybe, another maybe 800 to 1,000 crores, that's what the market would be today. So that's my broad sense. But, really no market studies are available. These are sort of just estimates from us.
And sir, for the last question, do you see any investing companies? Any investing companies are becoming big like Zomato or Policybazaar?
Yeah, I had addressed that. Look, it's too early to say because many of the companies are still small. Several are showing promise, but it's too early to say whether how far they will go and by when.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Manish Adukia from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is just a follow-up, Hitesh, on one of the comments that you made earlier. You said that in Naukri, you feel that now time has come to up your advertisement spend a bit. Is that a function of competition? Are you seeing like a rise in competition in that space, and that is what's leading to that rise in advertisement? Second is on the real estate. I understand you mentioned that, you know, you're seeing some decline in new launches in the housing space. Given, you know, the recent liquidity crisis in the NBFC space, what are the early trends you're seeing in that space? And in the last few months, I mean, a lot of your competitors, the likes of Quikr, et cetera, press has been reporting that they have been reporting 40-50% kind of a top-line growth. So in the real estate space as well, are you seeing, like, increased competition from some of these smaller players? If you can address that. Thank you.
Yeah, so See, what's happened in the job space, we're not seeing competition when it comes to customers because, you know, our business is growing at a very healthy rate. Billings this year have been up 20% for the first, almost 20% for the first 9 months, which is actually stronger growth than what we saw in the last 2 or 3 years. But we've been out of media for long, and, you know, our competition has been aggressive in media, and for a while now, it's been like almost, 2-3 years that sort of, some of them have been spending aggressively on media. So I think, you know, just some of these are judgment calls. It's not as if by spending in media tomorrow our traffic will sort of move up substantially or anything of that sort. But it's we just feel that it's time to sort of go back in media. Market has been looking up for a while, and if we go to media, go into media at this point in time, we may benefit in the long run, right? So it's a call. It's not as if we if we don't sort of advertise tomorrow, our business will crash or anything of that sort. As far as real estate is concerned, see, like I mentioned, what we are noticing, for last year our business was impacted, in fact, severely because of demonetization, RERA, GST, etc. So all those issues are now behind us. So the issues like these are now behind us. But the real estate market has been in sort of bad shape for a while. What we are now sensing is that the real estate market is at least stabilizing. Transactions have started looking up at least in some geographies, especially in the West and the South. And prices are sort of stable in going up in pockets as well. Now, it's very hard for me to say what is going to happen going forward. Our sense is that the NBFC crisis may have impacted lending to financing to builders and also some home loans. And what we are seeing for sure is a decline in new launch activity. Now, whether that is because of the NBFC sort of crisis or not, I do not know. But certainly, new launch activity has slowed down. And we of course get some percentage of our revenue from new launch, you know, because when companies sort of, when builders launch projects, they make a lot of noise at the time of launching. So that has slowed down. But there is a lot of unsold inventory still in the market, especially in the north and some other geographies. And if you go by current sort of sale rates, you know, this unsold inventory will take some, a couple of years at least, if not more, to clear still, right? So as far as competitive intensity in the real estate space goes, you know, the real estate portals are still very aggressive because we are hopeful and bullish that the market will improve going forward.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Vivek Anand from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. We've been noticing that there has been a marginal decline in the average number of resumes added daily. So is it the case that the candidates are getting lured by aggressive advertising of our rivals and we are lagging behind slightly? Second question pertains to the billing growth in real estate. So in 99acres, we have, over the last 3-4 quarters, we have ranged at around 45 to 50 crore in billing. Is that something that, can we grow on this base or how should we see the early signs that you are seeing, given that the launches have slowed down, but brokers continue to remain aggressive?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, we've been sort of tinkering around with our marketing mix a little bit. We are experimenting with a few new things. We were getting a lot of CVs earlier, but we've slowed down acquisition because we are now focusing a lot more on getting quality CVs, which are a little more expensive to get when you advertise for them. you know, otherwise it's not very hard to get CVs in India because, you know, you're a country of 135 crore people. But we want CVs which our clients are interested in. And that's always harder to sort of do. We are thinking around the marketing sort of mix and to see what happens. Yes, we've seen a decline, but some of it is planned. However, we are still sort of, we haven't figured out the right formula on this front as yet. Like I said, the TV ad spend does not really contribute significantly to an increase in traffic on the platform, given our large base. It's more for sort of being there and building brand awareness. A lot of our TV acquisition is through online channels. And there we are experimenting. So, you know, a little early for me to comment on this. Also, what happens is as we improve our systems and software and our engagement tools, enough people who used to come back and register again actually reactivate their old CVs and they don't really need to register. So partly it could be that as well. But I don't have all the answers on this front at the moment. We'll probably have a better sort of answer 3-4 months down the line once we are done with all the experimenting that we are doing right now. As far as the real estate market goes, see, like I said, all the big issues are behind us, which were impacting the industry, but the real estate market has been in a slump. There is a new issue, which is this whole business of NBFC lending to builders and lending for home loans and so on. Now, we don't know how big this is, how big and serious and deep this issue is. New launch activity has slowed down, and yes, a substantial part of our new home revenue used to be new launches. But like I said, you know, there is still a lot of unsold inventory, and this unsold inventory is not going away in a hurry. I mean, at current sale rates, unsold inventory is going to take another 2 to 3 years minimum to clear, right? You know, we are still bullish on the business growing. We don't know whether it's going to grow at 30% or 40% or 50% going forward, but we are still hopeful that it will continue to grow.
Great. Thanks. I'll come back with more.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question, can you give some color on, you know, how the policy bazaar is doing, you know, and how you see investment in that going forward? That's my first question. Second question is on Jeevan Sathi. The burn rate seems to have increased. Are we comfortable with this burn rate, or, you know, you think there is a upward or downward movement possible?
So Policy Bazaar, I think, is well placed for funds. It has just raised around a few months back. It's increased its investment in marketing lately. But it is market leader. It's a dominant market leader in insurance comparison. It is probably a market leader in Paisa Bazaar as well. But you know, there it is like kind of it's not as dominant as it is in insurance comparison. And there is substantial inbound interest for investment in Policy Bazaar. So I don't think it's going to be short of cash anytime. And I think they can turn profitable whenever they want in the Policy Bazaar business.
If you can just you know, highlight what are the aspirations of Policy Bazaar, you know, in the broader scheme of things, you know, are they satisfied with where they are today, you know, in leadership position? Are they looking to diversify in more verticals or anything like that?
Well, you know, so there are two parts of the business. There's Policy Bazaar and Paisa Bazaar. So if you take the Policy Bazaar part of the business, you know, they want to do more and more things in and around the insurance space, whether it's in health insurance or it's in motor insurance or it's in, you know, other kinds of insurance, or whether it's in launching of digital products, you know, in collaboration with other with insurance companies and so on. You know, they want to use their data, you know, to help their partners develop smarter and better insurance products, all of those things. So they will go deeper and deeper into the insurance space by, you know, evolving, innovating and launching new offerings.
And to answer your question on Jeevan Sathi, see, we upped our marketing. See, the space is very competitive right now. I mean, all the players are spending a lot of money and there's a lot of pricing pressure as well. There's a price war going on, at least in the north and west. And, you know, so we did well for about two and a half years, but the last 2-3 quarters have been slow. We've been upping our ad spend to sort of, you know, compete. And, you know, there's scope for optimization. It's not as if our ad spend, you know, we'll continue to sort of spend very, very aggressively. There is sometimes when you scale up ad spends, you do that, but over time you optimize. And that's what we're working on right now. and our revenue growth, you know, hopefully will sort of slowly start bouncing back if we execute well. But very difficult to say how the market is going to pan out. Like I said, there are two other players who are much bigger than us, and they're also spending a lot of money.
So, I mean, you know, you have, you know, any budget in mind, or you have any aspiration in that, you know, you don't want to, or, you know, advertisement budget per se, you don't want to be lesser than the competition, anything like that. What is the benchmark which is prompting high cash burn in June 30th, is what I'm trying to figure out?
No, so we believe we have a play in this space. We've been executing well for the last 2-3 years. The last 2-3 quarters have been sort of a little sort of difficult, like I said, because of competitive intensity going up. And we've been gaining share in this market. Our volumes are up substantially over the last 2-3 years. So our sort of aspirations are very limited in this space right now. We want to continue to do well in the communities in which we sort of operate. We virtually sort of, we are reasonably strong in the north and the Marathi sort of belt. We don't really exist in the south. And we want to continue to invest and do whatever it takes to maintain and grow our share in these communities.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Darpan Thakkar from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. One is again on advertisement. So recently advertisement on Naukri has increased. You see that this can result in much higher revenue growth 1 or 2 years down the line, maybe 20% for a continuous period of time. Second is on 99 acres. Will it be possible to give number of individuals also which are paying on the platform and also billing breakup? And third is on Merit Nation, just idea about what's happening with the company.
See, Naukri, you know, ad spends are up, but, you know, let me tell you, we used to spend a lot of money on advertising in Naukri 5 years earlier as well. But ad spends are basically sort of, and the ad spending is up mostly on TV, and this is to more sort of build brand awareness, especially with the newer consumers and the newer job seekers in the market more than anything else. It's not as if it's going to directly impact our revenue today or tomorrow. Like I said, you know, if you stop advertising in Naukri also, it's not as if our revenue growth will go down from wherever we are today to half or less than half of that. That's unlikely to happen. Revenue growth is more a function of hiring in the market and our penetration with customers, our sales efforts and pricing and so on, our new customer acquisition. In the short run, yes, in the long run, in the, you know, they are a function of the number of resumes we have, and it's also a function of our traffic share, and it's also a function of multiple other things. So this effort to sort of, you know, this advertising spend increase that you're seeing in Naukri is sort of just to sort of revive our brand and to sort of build awareness amongst younger audiences more than anything else. Sorry, what was the second question? I missed that.
99 acres, billing breakup and individuals, number of individuals who are paying.
So, you know, as a billing breakup, we don't give out breakups, but, you know, the site is free for owners to advertise. There are some paid services that are offered to owners. A small fraction of the owners avail of those services. It's a tiny part of our revenue, not very sort of significant at this point in time. Yeah, and the breakup, you know, we don't give any geographical breakup or any segment-wise breakup.
Not geographical, I was saying broker, builder and owners.
So, you know, about slightly more than,
roughly 45 from builders.
Yeah, about 40-45% of our revenue is from builders.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And on Merit Nation, I mean, just an idea about what's happening with the company. Like, you are the majority stakeholder there, so...
So the company has, you know, been through some difficult times, but now it's bouncing back nicely. It's going well. It is still burning money, but you know, let's see how this. The peak season just started Jan, Feb, March. Let's see how this peak season goes, but we are hopeful.
So will it require further investment
It almost certainly will require further investment. Let us see, you know, whether we can get an external investor or if we do it ourselves. That remains to be seen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Anandu Padmanabhan from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. On the Jeevansathi side, could you throw some light on how have the realizations moved in the last couple of quarters? And also with the increased competition, do you see any scope for consolidation in this particular industry?
You know, we don't give out realizations, but what I can tell you is that our volume growth has been fairly substantial over the last two and a half years. You know, like I said, there's a price war and people have been dropping prices, but that drop price drop has also resulted in higher volume over the last 10 or 12 quarters. So, and as far as consolidation is concerned, I really can't comment. It depends on what the other companies want to do. There are two other players in this space. They're much bigger than us. I don't know how this is going to pan out. I can't say anything right now.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star 1 now. We have a next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. First question is on Naukri. You know, historically we've seen whenever Naukri growth has accelerated beyond, you know, the mid to late teens, we've seen some element of margin expansion. We've seen, I think, two quarters of very strong growth and looks like the trends are that way. How should we think about margins there? With respect to, I guess, your advertising spending. That's one. Secondly, on 99acres, if you could highlight where the growth is coming from a geographic perspective. Is it more your core NCR markets? Is it more west and south where you said there's more stabilization?
So actually, you're right. So in the past, whenever we've seen, you know, high top-line growth in Naukri, we've seen margin expansion. So actually what we're doing this time is using this top-line growth to make all the investments we've been wanting to make in the business for a while. So, like I said, we've significantly beefed up our product, data science, and technology efforts. We are trying to build some new products. Now, some of these things will work out, some of these things will fail. But if we get even one or two of these right, then that will set us up for growth in the medium term, irrespective of what happens to the market. So we are basically in an investment phase in Naukri, investing a little more in brand awareness as well, investing a lot in new products, investing a lot in new areas like data science, which if we execute, you know, well, we could potentially reap a lot of benefit in the times to come. Some new technologies are available which were not available earlier, which could solve problems which have not been solved for a long time for both our customers and our job seekers. So like I said, you know, we're investing. Let's see what happens. And what this also means is we're also upgrading the quality of senior management we have in Naukri and so on. So these are sort of long-term investments, and the results will sort of show in the medium term, not in the short term. So as far as 99acres is concerned, growth, we saw all-round growth. It's not as if growth is restricted to a few markets. All our markets have been responding well. Now, of course, some geographies may be growing at 25%, some at 35%, and so on. But we are seeing growth in all our markets.
Are any markets particularly laggards in your from a geographic perspective?
So, you know, there are some markets where we are weak. So I would not say that is a result because of the market. If we have a 50% share nationally, there are some markets where we have a 60% share, and there are some markets where we have a 40% share. So that's more often a function of, you know, our share position in those markets and our execution rather than whether some markets are doing well or not. From a overall real estate market perspective.
There's been consolidation in the quarter with Quikr acquiring your competitor in the south. What does that mean for your traffic share in your market position?
So, you know, you mean India Property? Which one?
Yeah, India Property.
Yeah, so India Property, from our understanding, is a very small sort of player in the scheme of things and mostly restricted to the south. And they have contracted over the years. I don't know if they've given out the numbers, but I don't think it's a very sort of, certainly in terms of traffic share, they are nowhere. And in terms of revenue, I don't know the latest numbers, but they are very, very small. Yes, there has been some consolidation in the past. You know, Quikr has also acquired Common Floor and a bunch of other players in real estate. But as far as the real estate portal market goes, I would still say that it's dominated by a couple of players.
Okay, thanks and best of luck.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Vivek Anand from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Continuing on the discussion that you had on redeploying some of the extra revenue growth that you got into investments. So I understand that employee cost seems to be inflating at a fairly high pace because you are making more high profile hires than before. In this light, how should we look at the employee cost growth and the interplay with margins? And I'm referring to the overall standalone margins and the interplay with revenue growth over the next 2-3 years.
So right now, you know, the approach we are taking is that this is what is required to be done in the business for the medium term. You know, we need to hire more senior people, beef up the management bandwidth in Naukri. We need to invest more in product and technology. We need to invest in new areas like data science. We need to, build some new products. And so we will make these investments. And there's a cost to make doing all this. And margins will actually be a function of ultimately the revenue growth we get, right? So if revenue growth is solid, the market continues to be buoyant, you know, margins may sort of improve or remain the same. Who knows, you know, whether, so if the GDP growth picks up and we get 25% revenue growth, it'll be fine. But the philosophy is that we continue to make these investments and margins will actually ultimately be a function of the revenue growth we get. It's very hard to predict what revenue growth is going to be going forward.
Right. And on 99acres, your investments are primarily on marketing, is it? Because I'm just trying to understand some of the areas that you mentioned, AI, machine learning, data science. Are you setting up like common infrastructure that can be used across the standalone businesses? Or is it so that for each business, you need a dedicated set of employees who can solve specific problems?
So, you know, we are organized along business unit lines. So, you know, every business has a separate sales team, separate product team, separate engineering team. So there is nothing which is like, barring functions like finance and HR, nothing is really common between businesses. Every business is run like a separate company. They have different competitors. They need to work at a different, every business now needs to work at a different pace. And they need to prioritize different things. So that's our philosophy. And that will continue. So we're not going to be sort of doing something which is like, you know, making common investments or anything of that sort.
Right.
And anyway, 99acres, like you said, you know, a lot of investment is in marketing. But across the board, we generally sort of, you know, will continue to invest in, like I said, in product technology, innovation, and data science. That's going to happen, continue to happen in all our work.
Right. Understood. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Participants who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone now. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. So over to you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for being on the call and have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us and you may now disconnect your lines.